It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday the 10th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. In San Francisco yesterday, Apple announced a new MacBook laptop. Also, a new kind of spring that goes under the keys on a keyboard to help you type even more awesomer. But let's be honest, most of the interest ahead of the event was the watch. It's here, and it costs somewhere between the price of a dentist's appointment and the price of a compact car. Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief at CNET.com, was watching the event closely. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Ben.
Hit me. Price.
So at a minimum, you're paying between $350 and $400 for the base watch, which is aluminum and glass. Then you step up and you pay upwards of $1,000 for the stainless steel version of this watch with the sapphire crystal screen. And then if you are feeling very fancy, you can get the rose gold or the gold watch for $10,000.
If you love gold.
I love gold. The look of it. The taste of it, the smell of it, the texture.
This is a really bad Austin Powers reference, and I apologize. Moving on.
And it's worth noting that the $10,000 gold watch actually starts at $10,000. You can pay more.
That's without the six-disc changer.
Right.
What about features? Did we learn anything new here?
Maybe a little bit more detail about how it works over Wi-Fi, but not a lot more about what this watch can do that your phone can't.
How does Apple get away with this? They suck all these people into this giant room and talk for a long time about it, and yet we don't learn that much more about what the watch does.
So what we like to talk about sometimes is the fact that Apple is really good at making second-generation products.
Ah.
And the first generation of its products are all about convincing you that it's cool. So I think Apple is floating out something that is very high fashion, that has a couple of neat behaviors that other smartwatches might not have, to test the waters, to find out what works and what doesn't, to get this out in the hands of influencers who
right.
are going to make it seem really cool. And then when they come around with a second generation that does a lot more, people will be in a position to know what it is and to feel like maybe they're ready to fork out some money. That's my theory.
Are people going to buy it?
Of course. People will buy it because they're curious, and that's a totally legitimate reason to buy something. If you want to be an early adopter and you want to be seen with something that's considered on the cutting edge, I think the Apple Watch, because of all the marketing around it, will quickly be the most recognizable smartwatch. And I think plenty of people will buy it. Maybe not at the numbers that Apple would hope. We'll see. But I think it will sell.
Editor-in-chief of CNET.com, Lindsay Turrentine. Lindsay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
One of the other bits of news from the Apple event yesterday, you may have heard the recent rumors about HBO shopping for a partner in its efforts to create a new online-only option for people who wanted to stream its content. Apple was reportedly in talks with HBO. Imagine HBO asking Apple what it could bring to the table.
I monitor for DDoS attacks, emergency database rollbacks, and faulty transaction handlings. The internet, heard of it, transfers half a petabyte of data every minute. Do you have any idea how that happens?
That from HBO's show Silicon Valley. However the conversation went, the partnership is official. HBO's standalone streaming service, HBO Now, set to launch next month, will be from iTunes. $15 a month and exclusive for Apple for now. College recruiting for tech fields is up 51% this year, according to a career survey by Michigan State. And signing bonuses straight out of your senior year, higher than any time in the last 5 years. When I was a boy, the bonus was the job. Now, especially if you're planning on working in the tech industry, the power relationship between eminent college grad and potential employer has changed. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman takes a look.
The company Treehouse in Portland, Oregon, runs a global education network to teach computer coding. And at their industrial chic open plan offices, a new employee will find the requisite perks that abide at pretty much any successful startup. The ubiquitous ping pong table.
Wow. You got a good start.
And here at another local software company, they've got old school video games. Plus the espresso bar and a cozy cubby for afternoon napping. And that's just the creature comforts.
This is probably the best market for new grads in probably 5 or 6 years.
Kurt LeCount of Jacobs Engineering was recruiting at a standing room only job fair at the University of Portland recently. He says for math and science grads, it's not exactly free car and country club time yet.
I wouldn't say it's a frenzy, but companies are getting a lot more aggressive. The car thing, maybe not so much, but maybe a window desk, I don't know.
LeCount is absolutely ready to compete on career opportunities, travel to exotic places, and salary. Starting pay for engineers has surged above $62,000 this year. The company Match.com is also competing hard for new employees. Lisa Nelson in HR says having online dating experience isn't a requirement of employment, although
we have many employees that found their significant other or spouse using a Match product, and they will tell their story to anyone who will listen.
Nelson says the Dallas-based company's not only vying with other dot-coms for tech talent, they have to beat out companies in retail, real estate, and finance, too. Dan Finnegan runs the recruitment site JobVite. He says bargaining power is shifting to the potential employee in many fields, and the companies that'll win?
They're the ones who've redesigned their career website to be quite appealing. You can apply for jobs on your mobile device. They are targeting high-demand people the way marketers do to sell their products.
And maybe if they're playing a little ping pong, they could let the job candidate win. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Later this week, we're headed back to South by Southwest Interactive. Got any questions for the head of Google X Labs, Astro Teller? He's on my interview list. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at The Brock Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.